In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. To begin with, I would like to greet you with grace, mercy, peace, and love from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I think it is so incredible that we can come before our Heavenly Father and receive such personal and intensely personal greetings from Him, even on this beautiful morning in this beautiful sanctuary where I have come for the very first time. I am so happy because it was almost 50 years ago that I was last in your congregation. The summer of 1960, I was worshiping with you in the Franklin Street Church. Imagine that. So it's been a while, but anyway, it's nice to be back. And it's a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to worship in this congregation. As John mentioned, the congregation where our beloved brother in Christ, our pioneer in the work of foreign mission in our church, Pastor Andrew Michelson, was from this congregation. He was a great mentor, I know, already to my father and to many of my father's generation, and also to me as a young man. So this gives me great pleasure, and I'm a little bit nervous about standing in a pulpit where in the congregation where he once stood. I feel very humbled. And by reading the book this week, as you know, Norma, she told me, she sent me the book and she said, this has to be read before the 28th. So I read it. And it has an incredible impact upon me. If you can imagine just returning as I have from West Africa, from Ghana, from Togo and Liberia, even Liberia where Pastor Michelson was, and the Apostolic Lutheran churches there, which he opened up in Nigeria and then spread to these other congregations where I've been serving. And to read this book, it just grips me, it just grabs me by the collar and says what a thankfulness we can have in our hearts that there have been pioneers, and not only pioneers years and years ago, but there are pioneers even among you whose dedication to the foreign mission and to mission is leading us onward in the mission field even today. And that is a great inspiration to me. I would like to bring you greetings from my home congregation in Kokkola, Finland. I am as originally from Canada, as maybe some of you know, the Hillmans came from Alberta. Then we moved to Washington State. From there, I went to Finland looking for my roots, and I found my roots in Finland. I had three grandparents from Finland, and there I also found a wife. And our children were born in America, but we went back to Finland 35 years ago to live, and that's where my family lives today. It's great sorrow to me that God took my wife just a few months ago to glory. So that is a sadness in my heart today, but she supported the work that I do, and now I can even work maybe more freely around the world to travel and be where God wants me to be. I also want to bring you greetings, fresh greetings from the Apostolic Lutheran churches in Ghana, in Togo, and Liberia. And just this week I've also had close contact with the churches in South Africa and India and Russia. And all of these people said, take our greetings where you go. So here you have it. From around the world, you have greetings of God's love and peace from brothers and sisters who also know the Lord as you know Him. It has been laid upon my heart that I should read from the 22nd chapter of Genesis this morning. And so I will read this text, the first 14 verses of the 22nd chapter of Genesis, and I read this text in Jesus' blessed and holy name. Follow with me as I read, and pray as I read, that God would open up this text to us as maybe never before. It is a familiar text. All of us know this text. But maybe God, and I really feel that God wants to put this text into our heart here in this church, in Zion Lutheran Church. into your and my hearts this morning in a new and a refreshing sort of way. Chapter 22 of Genesis. And it came to pass, after these things, that God did tempt Abraham, said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and he took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder, and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to a place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched his hand forth, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called upon him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said unto this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Amen. As the text opens, we find an interesting expression. It says that as it came to pass after these things, God did tempt Abraham. Now, as we know from other scripture places in the Bible, it says that God tempts no man. So I think that we should understand this clearly as a test. And in other translations, and I think from original translations, we see that this was a test of Abraham. Is God testing you in your life? Is he bringing something into your life which is a door to something new, something open? How many times, as we read this book that Norma has compiled, how many times do we see the test, the open door, and the questions? How many times do we see this, and how many times do we ask the questions, why? Can you imagine what was in Abraham's heart as God said to him, but he said to God, God said, Abraham, Abraham, and God, Abraham said, Here am I. Can you say that this morning? If God is calling to you this morning, is working through your heart, can you say, Here I am? Or can you say, maybe a little later, please God, I'm busy just now. No, we want to say to him, we want to say, Here I am. Now, here I am. In this text, we find three times that somebody says, Here I am. And I think this is a kind of a guiding light for us through this text, that we are guided to say this morning to God, Here I am. Tonight, when I present some of the things about the mission, I will mention some of the times that I didn't say that. And I want to know that I am not always one, even though I have served now for so many years in the mission. It has not always been easy for me to say with Abraham, here I am. Because then comes the message, take your only son. Take your only son that you love. Take him and sacrifice him. Now, Abraham had waited 100 years for this son. And a year before he was born, the angels came. The Lord himself walked into the yard of Abraham and said that he was to expect a son that Sarah would. And what did Sarah do? She's in the tent behind the curtain saying, "Hoo-hoo-hoo," you know, she's laughing. She's saying, "Isn't that funny? I'm 90 years old. That's a joke." Sometimes we look when God calls us and gives us his message, we look at it almost as a joke. It cannot be true what God is telling me now. And that must have been the definitely field of Abraham as he gets this message, take your only son and sacrifice him. This can hardly be true. But faith is the substance of things not seen, right? And here we have Abraham operating in faith on something he couldn't see or couldn't even imagine. And if God is calling you in wherever you are, as John told us this morning, wherever you are, you can be a part and participate in this work of God. And Abraham said, okay. And it says, what does he do? He says, and Abraham rose up early. He didn't hesitate. But he must have had a bit of a sleepless night. Maybe that's why he rose up so early, couldn't sleep. And he saddled the donkey, and he took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, and he took the wood for the burnt offering. And he had the wood, and he had the fire. Now, in this, what he had, that long journey up to Mount Moriah, he had the wood and the fire. He had the wood that he had cut, the wood that he'd done with his own efforts and his own works. He had his own work. He'd put together these packets of wood, these bundles of wood for the fire on Mount Moriah. So he had done his part, hadn't he? But then he took the fire. And as he took the fire, it's like we must take. We take what we can do, but when it's put together with the fire of the Holy Spirit, then it becomes an acceptable offering before the Lord. But he took his son. And what must his son have thought? His son must have been quite a grown-up lad by that time. I don't know how old he was. We don't know exactly. Some people said he was already a young man, a youth, but they call him a lad, so he must be he must not have been too old. And he comes along, and then they get to the point where I think is one of the most gripping parts of this. Isaac, his son, is carrying. They leave the donkeys, and then his son, he straps the wood on his son's back, and his son is going along and said, father, now this is quite interesting. We've got the wood, it's on my back, I can feel it. We've got the fire that we are carrying. Everything is ready. But he says, where is the lamb for the offering? Now I know that Abraham was carrying a knife, but this question must have gone like a knife into his heart. Where is the offering? Where is the lamb for the offering? This must have just pierced his heart. And at that point, any of you or I would probably have just said, I can't take it anymore. I'm not going to that mountain. This is too much for me to take. But Abraham's faith. He had the faith. He had the wood. And he had the fire. And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering." God will provide. This is the faith of Abraham. This was the faith of our beloved father in our spiritual father in this area, Pastor Andrew Michelson. This is what he said when everybody said, "Well, what do we do?" He would say, "God will provide." And that's what Abraham told his son. Do you believe this? Can you believe this in your heart this morning? If you see that hill ahead of you, if you see Mount Moriah ahead of you, and you know that something's coming down that you don't understand, can you say to yourself, to your own heart, or to the hearts of those around you who love you, "God will provide"? Because it is true that he will provide. There is no question of that. And Abraham was absolutely confident in God's provision. So they get to the mountain. They get to this mountain of pain and grief and sorrow for Abraham. And Abraham and they and his son, they make the altar. And they put the wood on the altar. And they put Isaac on the altar. And they bind him on the altar. And then Abraham comes in. And there that knife that he's been carrying all the way up to that mountain in all those days, he takes that knife in his hand and he raises that knife above his hand. And God says, "Abraham, Abraham." And Abraham says, "Once more, here I am." Once more, the faith of Abraham cries out. Once more, the heart of Abraham becomes evident. The faith of Abraham is live. And God says to him, and Abraham lifted up his eyes, and behold, he saw a ram caught in the thicket. Because God had said to him, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thine anything unto him. For now I know thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." You see, this was not temptation. This was test. "Now I know you love me." And here we have it. And there we have that ram. That lamb. That lamb caught in the thicket. That lamb which we all know, because on that same mount, many years later, or one very close to that, we know what happened. We know that there was a cross with these nails in the cross. I have never seen a cross with nails in it, and I think that's very powerful for me to see that cross. And there was the lamb provided. There was the Lamb of God provided. And that Lamb of God is provided for you and I today. We do not have to be the sacrifice. We do not have to go that route. God just wants to test our faith, and he is the sacrifice. Jesus is the sacrifice who shed his blood for you and for me, and so that you and I can know that we are saved, that we have peace with the living God, that our sins are washed away in the power of the blood of the Lamb. That's the sacrifice that has been made for us and given for us and shed for us. And that is a sacrifice of the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. This was provided. The lamb was caught in the thickets, and Abraham sacrificed his lamb, that lamb or that ram that was in the thickets. And Abraham called this place Jehovah Jireh, which means that God is will provide. God will provide. Now this mountain, is this mountain still in your life? Is this mountain a place in your life where God provides? Or did you stop on the way up to the mountain? Did you with a fearful heart turn back when the things got going rough? Or did your eyes of faith be focused on that mountain where Jesus Christ provided the ultimate sacrifice for your life, where he gave you strength to go through whatever trials you may have. You young people, you go through things that us old people and older people can hardly imagine, can maybe imagine. We know that you go through these things. We know that you have your Mount Moriah too. And maybe it's hard for you to understand that us older people are still facing our Mount Moriahs. That we think, well, we've been there, done that, and bought that t-shirt. No. We are still facing those Mount Moriahs in our lives. And I think it's wonderful to know that God has provided. And he does not require of us this sacrifice. He just took Abraham there to test him, but he gave his son as the sacrifice. I like the text we read in Micah at the beginning of our service today. In Micah 6, it says, "Wherewithal shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old?" Is this what God wants of you and I? Is this kind of sacrifices, these offerings that we have to offer ourselves? Yes, in a way, he does offer, requires of a sacrifice. But mostly, he requires of us that our faith is tested and that we trust in his sacrifice. And here it says, will the Lord be pleased with all these kind of things? Is that what he wants? Is the Lord wanting those kind of sacrifice from us? Rivers of oil, firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul. He has showed me, O man, and listen to this verse and love it, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Isn't that wonderful? That's what God is asking of us. He has provided the sacrifice. And now he's saying to us, just in humility, dear brother and sisters, he says, do justly. And all of us know in our heart, because God has written his word on our heart, what this means. Just ask yourself, what does it mean to do justly? God will give the answer. What does it mean to love mercy? God will show the way. And what does it mean to walk humbly with your God? From the youngest to the oldest in this sanctuary today, God will provide the answer if you ask him. And remember Abraham. Remember Isaac. That sacrifice was not required of Abraham, that sacrifice of his son. But he was tested. And sometimes you will be also offered to test something, to lay something on that altar. And sometimes God will ask us off to sacrifice something in our lives. He will ask us to give up something, to turn our backs on something. But he will not ask us more than we can take. But he will ask us to don't worry so much about the sacrificing part, but worrying about the doing justly and loving mercy and walking humbly with your God. This is what God wants of us. This is what he's looking for in our lives. And one more, and you might say to yourself, but when I've been to that Mount Moriah and it was tough, I've been there, and it was more than I could take almost. You know, as I stood beside, as I watched in the vigil night and day at my wife's bed last summer, believe me, that was tough. It was tough to release. It was tough to say goodbye. It was tough. But I knew that God had a meaning for that. And I prayed so often that she would be healed. And you know what I know now? I know now that she was healed. She was healed completely. She was healed totally. She has a new body and a new life in heaven. And is singing that new song that I so often like to sing about and talk about. about the new song. But we also read in our epistle text for today, we also read in the chapter 5 of Romans, it says that these things, it says, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Just think of that progression, this kind of tribulation that even Abraham had to go through. That it taught him something. It says patience, because tribulation works patience. Abraham learned something about patience. Pastor Michelson mentions in his letters often that patience was hard for him to learn too. In his tribulation that he faced, even at the death of his son-in-law, and the lack of visas and the lack of problems, he faced many tribulations. But it taught him something. It taught him that endeared him to the end of his life, and that was and taught him patience. And it said it worked patience worth experience. And that by that experience, we know that God is good. We know that He provides. We know that He provides every day of our lives. That's the experience teaches us. And when our children say, but how can you do that, Dad or Mom? And you can say, God has shown me. This is my experience with God, that He is faithful and that He will provide. This is the kind of experience that we learn through tribulation. And I'm sure that Abraham, for the rest of his life, never forgot that. And that's why this story is so detailed in our Bibles. And what is patience and experience? Experience works hope. Wherever I travel around the world, people need hope. In the poorest villages in India and in Africa or Russia or wherever I've been, the thing that people need most is hope. And imagine that I can say to them with full confidence, with the tribulations and the difficulties God has even put in my own life, that I can say to them, God will provide. I know it. He's done it. And He will do it in your life. I can say to them with full confidence. And that is what we need today to know, is that patience works experience, and experience hope. And what does hope make us? It says, and hope make us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Isn't that beautiful? Hope. Hope is opens the door. Hope makes it possible for the love of God to just burst into our hearts and to fill us with that confidence that God will provide. And this is not through our own power or any other power of man or anything else that we might have come across in our life, but it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. And this very power is working here today. This very power is in us today. And it's this very power which can fill us with hope and know that in whatever situation we are now in our life, that God will provide. We can tell our children, we can tell our grandchildren, we can tell our mothers, we can tell our fathers, Dad, Mom, God will provide. Son, daughter, granddaughter, God will provide. And if God closes a door, He will open another one. That's the way it works. God provides. You can say, well, God didn't provide something that I was expecting. That may be true, but that would not have been good for you. That would not have been fulfilled you as a Christian or on your walk of faith. And so God provides that which leads and guides you in one direction. We have the hope of what? What did my wife have the hope of eternal, of as she took her last breath there in the hospital? She had the hope of eternal life. And that's the hope that makes us not ashamed. That's the hope that makes us proud to be Christians, happy to be Christians, delighted to be walking in the joy of the Lord. And it says, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. My dear brothers and sisters, today we walk in confidence. Today we walk knowing that God is leading, that God is guiding, and whatever happens to us, we know that it is according to His will. If we are tested, we can say as Abraham did, "Here I am." If we are in trials, we can say as Isaac said, "Here I am." Or as Abraham said, as the knife was raised over his son, "Yes, Lord, here I am." This is my prayer, that each of you could say today before the living God, "Here I am," and know that in full confidence and full hope, in full the love of God shed fully in your heart through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can know that God will provide. In Jesus' blessed and holy name, amen. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. Your word is true. It is doubtless. It is endearing. It is everlasting. We thank you that your word reaches and even can divide us under the bone and marrow in our very bodies, our soul and spirit. Thank you, Father, that you never leave us nor forget us. Thank you that you will always, every day of our lives, in every situation in our lives, you will provide through your love, through your joy, and through the power of your Holy Spirit. This we are so thankful for. Now let us unite our hearts before God and receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.